Welcome to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. H.R. 1, the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act, was enacted on July 4th of 2025. The law includes cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, that have already resulted in over 3 million people losing this important benefit. As of 2 days ago, June 1st, another aspect of the law kicked in that requires most adults between the ages of 18 and 64 who do not live with a child under the age of 14 to work, be in school, volunteer, or participate in community service for at least 80 hours per month if they want to maintain their SNAP benefits. And this also applies to people on Medicaid. It also limits eligibility for certain lawfully present immigrants. Now, this is at a time when the cost of food is rising and is expected to continue to do so until the conflict in the Middle East that has closed shipping through the Strait of Hormuz ends, or at least results in the opening of this important waterway. Approximately 1 in 10 households in Delaware County participates in the SNAP program. So it's a very real issue for our region here. And here to talk with us about what has already unfolded with the SNAP program in our region and what we all should be thinking about and what kind of response we should be thinking about, things we should do to ensure that our friends, our families, our neighbors are able to access nutritious foods is first the Commissioner of Social Services for Delaware County, Keith Weaver. Keith, thank you so much for joining me today on Health Center in the Catskills.
Sure thing. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And in the studio with me is local farmer Madeline Warren. Many of you know her as being a co-host of the Farm Hour here on WIOX Radio. She also operates Kimchi Harvest and makes a fabulous kimchi. And thank you so much, Madeline, for joining me today.
Hi, Diana. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let me start. I want to start with you, Keith, about explaining the SNAP program to listeners, what it is. Some people know food stamps, but they may not understand what SNAP means and what it does.
Okay. So SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and it's a food assistance program intended to supplement a household's grocery purchases. It can only be used to purchase food, no other household items, no cleaning supplies, toiletries, clothing, or anything like that, just food. The application process has been the same for several years. Individuals and families can apply online, in person, or through the mail. And we see all different types of households that qualify, single individuals, families, and elderly community members.
Great. Now, what can you tell us about the extent of use of the SNAP program in Delaware County?
It's pretty prevalent in Delaware County. I'd say maybe, I think 10% is probably a bit too high, but maybe like 7%, 6 or 7%. You know, I don't have actual numbers right in front of me, but I'd say somewhere around 2,500, 3,000 people in the county are on or receive SNAP benefits.
Yeah, when I looked that up, it said 1 in 10 families in the county are on food stamps, but I don't recall whether that was before there have already been some changes in the SNAP program, and you have to, my understanding is you have to re-enroll essentially. I don't know if I'm using the right language, Keith, but more often now. Can you clarify that?
I'm not sure about re-enrolling. There's a recertification period. I think that maybe was historically once every 12 months. And if my memory serves me, sorry, yes. Diana, I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. Yep. I think that may have been reduced to recertifying every 6 months.
Yes. Correct. And of course, you know, for people who may be on the SNAP benefits, they may not realize that they have to recertify more often. And the concern is that people may get thrown off of this program just because they didn't know they had to recertify. What's your experience?
Go ahead.
What are you experiencing, seeing?
Well, I would just say, you know, I don't know that that is entirely true. I think that, you know, I can't speak for New York State at large or any other state in the union, but, you know, I can say with a high level of confidence that our staff are very good about communicating with folks, sending out necessary documentation, so, you know, informing people of what exactly the criteria is to maintain their eligibility. You know, our folks are really good at their job. They're eligibility workers, and, you know, our job is to get people the services and benefits that they're eligible for. So, you know, I do think that it's a change. I do think that it may be unexpected for some people, but I also think that they will be well informed about these changes.
Good. That's good to hear. And is the documentation you have to produce the same as it always was?
So again, you know, high level kind of information here. I think that the biggest change is the work requirement. I think that has the potential to impact some families who are unwilling to abide by the new eligibility requirements of you know, having some kind of work or work activity as part of their maintaining eligibility.
And why would they not want to do something? What are you hearing from people who your staff are working with about reasons they are giving for why they can't work or volunteer the 80 hours a month?
So, and you know, the 80 hours a month, I feel like there are different criteria depending on what. I think that the number of hours that you have to dedicate may be different based on what work activity you're actually in. I could do a little bit more research on that and clarify that if clarification is needed. Mm-hmm. I think that what people maybe sometimes misunderstand is that if a family is eligible for food stamps and they've done all of their other met all of their other eligibility requirements and their SNAP case is open, if the parent or parents are unwilling to participate in work requirements, then they become ineligible. The household will maintain eligibility, but at a reduced amount, a reduced monthly amount, because they've failed to meet that work requirement.
So the children would still get the benefit. Is that right?
That is my understanding, yes.
Great. Now, I want to bring Madeline Warren into this. Madeline, you became concerned last year when people, as prices were going up and people were potentially losing their SNAP benefits, there was a lot of concern about our people going hungry nationally, but also in our region. Share with us what was going through your head at that time and how you responded.
Well, we saw the deadline or the day of the last SNAP benefits going out, and we have a little storefront in Fleischmann's on the main street there. So we decided to open up for Tuesdays free meals or sliding scale meals and groceries one day a week, 2 to 6 p.m., groceries being mainly perishable food items that aren't typically found at a pantry, like fresh fruits and veggies and dairy products, bread, because I also attend farmers markets. And actually, there was more buzz at the farmers markets because, as you know, the SNAP program benefits both local producers and
people in
food insecure homes. Mm-hmm. So that the farmers market is where that program really you see it operating in its glory, I guess, if there is one. Yeah, because the subsidized food coupons dollars are put directly into farmers' hands, and the exchange benefits both. So there was a mini crisis happening at the farmers' markets because many of the farms count on this as income stream as well, because many customers are using these dollars there, and then they would no longer be able to see these customers at market, and a chunk of their income would be diminished. So
are you hearing from farmers that the business is falling off for them?
I mean, a lot of farmers will always say that, but but as far as the impact, I believe one of our farmers markets did take a survey over the winter asking about how business was impacted by the loss of the circulating subsidized food dollars. But as far as our local response to the SNAP benefits being I guess halted. We started this Tuesday, mutual aid food, hot food and groceries. And we continue to do it on Tuesdays, 2 to 6 p.m.
And this is where?
In Fleischmann's, 1109 Main Street. The name of our storefront is San Mul. We serve mainly vegetarian foods.
She's a great cook, by the way.
Thank you.
I was going in for a while. You were doing things for paying customers on other days, and I would go in and say, "I'm here, feed me," and it was a magnificent feed. So
yeah, it's fun
you.
There.
Yeah.
But these kinds of things take time to spread the word, because if someone has difficulty paying for the groceries, they're going to have trouble traveling to a new destination unknown. So some weeks are better than others as far as how we're able to support our community. But I think we just have to stick to it, and eventually more people will come through and see that the vegetables are fresh, grown locally, and the food is good. So, but meanwhile, there are plenty of options in Delaware County being historically on the lower income side in New York State. Yeah. So Delaware Opportunities has, I think they manage like 15 emergency or 15 pantries or something in the county. So there are options for people. Try to get in front of it. I know there's so many things to consider as far as priorities, but if you can keep food on the table, then you're at least fortifying your health and preventing, illness.
And let's just point out that when I go to the grocery store, fresh produce, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables can be very expensive. And it's one of the reasons why people often are using their limited food stamps on foods that aren't that healthy. And Keith Weaver, let me just bring you back in here in terms of do you know how much the average, like for a family of four who qualify, what that monthly benefit would look like? How much?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's contingent on, like, there's an eligibility criteria, and if you meet that eligibility criteria, it depends on how much income you have coming into your home. And I don't really know how to present this, but there's a narrative that people are gonna, massive amounts of people are gonna lose their benefits, and I think that I don't know how truly accurate that is. I think for Delaware County in particular, adults who are not exempt from work requirements will lose their SNAP benefits after 3 months of non-participation in a work activity. Mm-hmm. Tracking of the month of these months started in March. May was the first 3 month, you know, kind of time frame. And for folks, you know, for folks who are not meeting that work requirement to kind of lose their eligibility, right? Mm. So Delaware County had 107 individuals of the, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000 people that we have on SNAP. I could probably get more accurate numbers on that, too. 107 individuals chose not to participate, and we'll see a reduction in benefits.
Mm.
Prior to that happening, prior to them losing eligibility, our staff reached out to each and every single one of them in an effort to get them into some kind of work program. We have an employment unit here at the department that, you know, their sole responsibility, well, I don't want to say their sole responsibility, their primary responsibility is to help people get involved in a work activity. And by help, I mean finding a work activity that suits them, a work activity that is centrally located to them. If not centrally located, we'll find transportation to get them to a work activity. Mm. And if you look at, again, I don't have them in front of me. If you look at what qualifies as a work activity, they're actually pretty flexible in what an individual could do to meet those requirements. Mm. You know, I think volunteerism is one of the one of the areas that people could use to satisfy a work requirement. So
yes.
it sounds, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not great. Like, I'm not trying to tout this as,
sure,
you know, some wonderful progression. But I also think that a lot of the narrative is that massive swaths of people are going to be coming off the SNAP roll. And I think that may be partially true, particularly with the individuals who are undocumented. You know, but as far as what we're seeing, and at least currently, and what we in Delaware County are trying to make available to folks, you know, it's our job to help people maintain eligibility, and we will move heaven and earth to make that happen.
That's great. Well, I want Madeline Warren here to share something that she was just sharing with me about someone who came to see you.
Yeah, I signed off on someone's work requirement documentation. She wants to volunteer at my farm, helping weed and take care of vegetables in the field.
Why would she not want to do that and get paid?
We didn't get that far.
Oh.
She is a recipient of SNAP food stamps. Uh-huh. And she approached me a few weeks ago,
yeah,
and I said, sure, no problem. So she checks in with me once a week now to see what we have to do. And she'll come in for a few hours, and it's working out for both of us. And, I mean, the other side of that, which I think is interesting about volunteering, is that there's always some value, that an unforeseen value to volunteering. So while someone might look at it as, oh, I have to go 4 hours somewhere, there's always someone you run into there that may be hiring, or just the action,
exactly,
of being out in the community. And in particular with this person, she's coming to our farm, so we always have extra vegetables and food. So she's in, so it's,
yeah,
while I know there's mixed feelings about work requirements, I think that a little bit of change in a kind of bureaucratic system can be healthy. We just have to see how it plays out. And people that sincerely do need help might see added benefit from it. I know any change can seem like it's burdensome or, you know, going in the wrong direction, but if we just sincerely stick to it, we can see if it helps improve the health of our neighbors.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm actually very glad that you pointed out the potential of just being out in the community. You know, having folks, you know, there are folks that we've had, you know, that they're trying, but they have, you know, they have hurdles, right, that they need to overcome. And through our intensive work with our employment program, you know, we had an individual, you know, that just had a lot of hurdles. And just through this kind of community engagement and, you know, positive kind of supportive, not kind of supportive, very supportive structure that I think that we have in Delaware County, you know, they found a job. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to work out for everybody, but once people get out into the community and they start, you know, being, not that everyone who receives SNAP isn't productive, but being productive, getting out into the community, having self-value and worth of being productive and contributing, even if it's volunteering on a farm or at the SPCA, whatever the case may be, you know, that too is healthy. You know, that's food for the soul.
Yeah. So Keith Weaver, what concerns do you have, or what challenges are you facing right now with this work requirement? What do you all have to do with that? Or is it just helping people to file the paperwork?
So, I mean, like I said, I don't want to sound redundant, but our job is to help people maintain their benefits. I think, you know, this may be kind of off track of the direct question you asked, but where I get concerned is the actual administrative funding impact that HR 1 has on local districts. Historically, 50% of the food of the SNAP program was subsidized by the federal government. HR 1 cuts that to 25%. New York State is not absorbing that 25%, so that 25% administrative burden now falls on the budgets of local social services districts. Mm. In addition to that, the feds are really cracking down on what they refer to as it's an error rate, like your SNAP error rate. And if a state's error rate exceeds 6%, then that state is going to be on the hook for not just administrative costs, but also benefits costs, which historically have been 100% taken care of by the Fed. New York State's error rate as a whole is currently hovering around 12%. So there will be some kind of fiscal penalty administered to New York State. And my concern is that New York State will maybe will take it on the chin a year or two, but eventually I just can't see you know, the legislature in New York just continually absorbing that cost. And my concern is that that cost will then be distributed or passed along to local districts as well. Yeah. As far as the work requirements go, you know, I don't want to sound cliche, but it is what it is. This is what we've got to work with. And I do think Delaware County is either right at or ahead of the curve on making it happen.
Great. If somebody is signed up in Delaware County is on food stamps, they could, or the SNAP program, they could get there without going through you. Is that right, Keith?
I'm not sure what you mean, Diana.
So not everybody in Delaware County who is receiving the SNAP benefit has gotten it through your office. They could get it through the hub, Delaware Opportunities. They could sign up individually without going through another agency. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident to say that people can apply in different ways, but ultimately we're the ones that administer the SNAP program.
And so anybody in Delaware County who is, I know somebody who is disabled, her mother, she lives with her mother is very frail, they are both on food stamps, and then they got kicked off for some reason and had to figure out how do we get back on. So anybody who's listening, who's in Delaware County, if they need help, can they come to your office to either sign up, get recertification, or figure out what the problem has been and why they're not getting their benefits?
Absolutely. I cannot emphasize enough that's why we're here. I mean, we're here for a lot of reasons, but that, you know, that being one of the major ones, we're here to help people. And, you know, I don't want to say I would discourage people from coming to the office, but I think a phone call would probably be the best way, so that if there are things that people need to produce in order to either, you know, resume or begin benefits, that they would be able to come to the office prepared to provide that information. I think a phone call is probably the best first step.
And what is that number?
Our general number is 607-832-5300.
One more time.
607-832-5300.
And when they call that number, is it the Social Services Department, or do they need to ask for that?
It is just that's our dedicated line. Most often, I'll just say most often, like 98% of the time, 99% of the time, as long as it's between 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., an actual live person will answer that call and then route that individual to the necessary department.
Great.
If somebody calls and says, I have questions about SNAP or my SNAP case or how to apply for SNAP, that will be routed to an appropriate individual who will field that call.
Great. And then for Madeline Warren, one more time about how people, because even if they're still on SNAP, we know that the cost of foods right now, I mean, I've looked up the annual benefit, Keith, and the average household across the country, the average for four people, it says the average is $994, which is not insignificant. But for a family of four, I bought groceries the other day and it cost me $200 for two bags of groceries. Now, I'm probably I do buy really healthy food. I want, you know, organic when I can get it, et cetera. But nonetheless, prices are going up for all of us. So just because I am on SNAP doesn't mean I should not come to.
Oh, yeah. Come by Tuesdays, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. No income requirements.
Great.
Every Tuesday, 1109 Main Street. And I just want to say that I think having this information on air and people talking about it with Keith, understanding that we are all trying to work together. And Keith said something that I wasn't aware of that I'm completely alarmed about, was this error rate and and the repercussions of being exceeding the 6% error rate. New York State needing to absorb the administrative costs and the benefits means we have to work together.
Yes.
People that need help, people in the area that can assist, these organizations and government agencies that, like Keith works with, we have to work together. It isn't, there's no gatekeeping here. Keith shared a piece of alarming information about the budgets that support these programs that,
that we should pay attention to.
Pay attention, talk to each other. Everyone that's working with Keith in that office and at Delaware Opportunities, they may not have the exact information that you want, but they are there to help.
Yes.
So be prepared to speak with someone that's looking to help. It's not easy, but we are all trying to do this together.
And that's Madeline Warren. She is co-host of the Farm Hour and runs Kimchi Harvest and makes fabulous kimchi. And again, that address on Tuesdays,
1109 Main Street, Fleischmann's, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Thank you, Madeline, so much. And I want to thank the Commissioner of Social Services for Delaware County, Keith Weaver. Thank you so much for coming on. And, Keith, one more time, that phone number.
It's 607-832-5300.
And if I am somebody who would be willing to hire somebody who needs to work, the 80 hours a month, or I have a volunteer opportunity, do you get involved in that, or the people have to find that themselves?
If folks who wanted to provide that kind of, assistance, they can call the 832-5300 number too and say, hey,
great.
We'll take on volunteers. We're looking to hire. As was said earlier, we can tackle this as a community. We're a tight-knit community.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, I can't speak for other counties in New York or other states in the union, but I think it's safe to say we're crushing it here in Delaware County as best we can with the resources we have.
That's awesome. And that's Commissioner, again, Commissioner for Social Services for Delaware County, Keith Weaver. Thank you so much, Keith, for the great work you're doing and for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.